And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Saul Zavala, who during his near-death experience saw minions like from the movie Phantasm. Saul, thank you for joining me today and welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Saul, let's start with a little bit of your backstory and how this led up to your death.
I experienced death on February 28, 1999. I had heart cramps growing up as a child. When I was 10, my mom took me to the University of Illinois Heart Building, and they laughed at the door. They laughed. They said, "You're too young to have heart problems. You're 10 years old. Get out of here." I remember my brother showing me in the newspaper, look, a doctor's son died from a heart attack, and a little boy. But we never followed up on mine. So these heart cramps, they would keep me from breathing. They would just go and I had to wait, like if you're underwater, you just can't breathe. So as years went on, it got worse, from once a month to twice a month to a few times a month to a few times a week. By the time I was 21, it was happening like once a day, twice a day. Out of nowhere, just like no running around, nothing, just out of nowhere, just like, whoo, hang on tight. And those last ones before the main one, it was getting so bad where I fell to my knees. Like I was running out of time, like holding your breath. As a kid, we used to play put you to sleep, you know? So I kind of knew the point where like I'm about to fall asleep, you know? So moving forward to the last time I had that heart cramp, it was an event. And I was raised in Chicago, so I wasn't like the best kid. I used to, you know, sell things on the side to make money. I had fun experimenting with certain things, you know, like Pink Floyd and all of them talk about. So, but one day I had some stuff that I took to my first big event, a big first rave event. I'd never been to such a thing. I heard about it. My family was hosting it. Over 3,000 people at this event, 3333 West Grand. It was like a jail camp. I was supposed to go with a friend. She didn't show up. So I'm like, well, no weed, no beer inside. So I took the thing, and my friend showed up. He said something stupid. He left his keys in the car. And I'm like, man, with the car around, locked it. And then I spit, and I'm like, oh, man, I spit out the thing I just put in my mouth. So I'm like, well, I got one more. I took it. So I'm standing in this line for a little bit. And when I got to the door, the stuff was kicking in pretty hard. But the first one kicked even harder. So I didn't realize I was on, you know, it was acid. So I was having fun. But I didn't realize that it was actually 8 hits total of some stuff I never took before. And people's faces started melting and molding. And I'm like, okay, stop. Like, stop. Like, stop. And I freaked myself out. People's faces started changing like a digital reel. Like, what? It was my first time ever hallucinating. Stop. And then I felt my heart cramp in the middle of this, scaring myself to death. It froze. It started freezing up, freezing like ice cold, glitter spreading through my body until it reached up to my neck. And I was like, froze up until everything started going dark. Everything outside of my vision was turning pitch black until it turned into a tiny, tiny pinpoint. I chomped down so hard that I later realized I've shattered my top back molars. And as soon as it made like a pinpoint, I went, damn. I was 12 feet up and 12 feet back, completely sober, no longer fear, no fear, no Nothing. What? Where? What? Answered. I saw my body 12 feet up, but I saw my body, and before it could hit the ground, I didn't even care anymore. The whole life was irrelevant, like I just had a dream and I woke up again. I was back to where I came from. What happened? I died. Where am I in the in-between part? Why you got scared to death? I started hearing screams, like 150 mile per hour winds in a hallway. If you ever see the Weather Channel and you hear the tornadoes twisting through the stairway. And I looked down, it was complete pitch black under me, just under me. But to my view was still inside this building. But down under was screams of hell. I wasn't afraid, not one bit. Horrifying sound you can imagine, the screams of hell, and I wasn't afraid one bit. I started ascending down from my 12 feet up, and to my right, I noticed a tall person in a beautiful blue velvet, beautiful blue woman walking this way with about six people behind her, red, beautiful garments. Detail, I can't even describe it. I tried to draw a picture in one of my videos. I drew it. And then as I noticed down, she was walking and she was going like this, reaching her hands down, as far down as she could to her sides, her waist, going like this. And it was people's hands reaching to touch her fingertips as she walked by, smiling at me. She just eye contact. Smiled towards me as she walked from my left to my right. And then I looked down at the people, like people trying to touch her as she went through. And I looked more down, and underneath them were those minions. I wasn't afraid of them. They were ugly, dark skin, like the movie Phantasm. Exactly like if they might have been seen before, because the depiction was perfect. I wasn't afraid of that. And I started noticing everything was like beautiful beyond 4K, 8K, whatever you call it, beyond beautiful. This was focused and that was focused 30 feet away. Everything was focused. Like, I noticed something on the other side and I was there all of a sudden. Like just there. And I'm like, wow, I like, instantly realized, like, I just traveled by looking. And then I, like, looked in the other direction, and then I was there. I knew right then and there. I thought, how fast can I go without crashing? And I started faster and faster and faster and faster until those streaks in the wind that I had noticed earlier, like, just streaks in the wind. Out of nowhere, like, even though everything's perfect 4K vision, I would see these streaks in the wind that made no sense until I started going faster and faster until I caught up with those streaks. And it was like instant another person, another spirit, an instant like tapping phones, like, here's my info, you know? It was like that. I got to say probably like three people I lined up with. But as I was going faster and faster, I already knew where I was. Like, I would just let go, you know? Everything stopped. Dust in the wind, sound, everything stopped. And me and Mitter, like Roadrunner, I stepped down, like if I was on Velcro. I just suddenly stepped down from where I was, and the only other person moving was walking towards me. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a most beautiful man, or most beautiful woman with curly blonde hair, like up to here, like a white. Do you know what happened? Yes, I died. It's not your time. everything came flooding back in. All the, everything. The last thing I thought was, I don't want to go back. So here I am. Like, why? What? Right. So for over the first 3 years, completely alone, man. Like, never even heard. I never even seen anything like about the other people going through it. It was like a big burden. Why did I have to see it? It's like, hey, here's the most beautiful thing you ever had. Take it. You got it. Wow. Oh, wait, wait, wait. No, not for you. So even though it's hard to tell people, you just instantly lose an acquaintance. People just don't want to know, and I get it. So for 20 years, like, what's my mission? What am I doing here? You know, I ended up having two beautiful kids and ended up having to raise them by myself, man. That is like, you know, if you've never felt love, that is love right there. You know, if you ever thought you felt love and then you had kids and raised your own kids, then you realize, wow, that's love right there, man. Like, that is unconditional. Until they get older, then you're like, fuck you, dad. You know? But you did your best, you know? That's it. So, man, for 20 years, I talked about how fast I was flying, how good it felt. You know, I didn't make it to the next level, you know, to where everyone like-minded goes, you know? Hell is simply guilt and regret. You know, if you want to, you got to fix it now because you're going to take that with you, you know? Man, I should have, too late. You know, you should have said sorry. You should have said you're right, I was wrong, something. It's too late. When the glitter fills your eyes, you start to realize it's too late. So I felt compelled to tell people, even though it has been a disaster in my life, to have just the power of common sense unleashed, you know? It's like even a box has a certain fold that makes it really easy to fold. There's a natural order to everything. This is unleashed, you know? You think of something really difficult and I'll find you a really simple answer. So for 20 years, I didn't find anyone else with this issue, you know, what I've been through. I try to post something on my regular page and I get skipped over like a, no one cares. No one wants to, oh yeah, what happened? No one cares. That's what I felt. I found this group on Facebook, like, wow, everyone cares. Everyone wants to know. And it finally I feel something, you know? But for the first 3 years that it happened to me, I never heard of it. Never, never. I was all alone, man. 3 years, finally on the Weather Channel, this lady got hit by lightning. And I'm like, that's what I've been saying. Finally, one person. That's it. I feel good. That's all it took. One other person. And I found out what it was called. OB, NDE. Like, wow, all these things started opening up to me, you know, like OB, like the singer or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I started, you know, after it happened to me, I can hear it in all the songs. That's what I've been talking about. I can see it in movies. That's what I've been talking about. You know, like, wow, The Matrix, it all started real good. And then it went to the blue pill, red pill. Like, that's what I've been talking about. You know, like if this is just the dream part, you know, this is the vacation from our spirit side. I brought a lot of peace of mind to a lot of people who needed it, who were afraid, you know, like, it's just all dark. You know, like, no, I'm sorry. I can't let you think that, you know. The moment you die, if you already understand, I didn't know anything about near-death experience when it happened to me. I didn't know anything about what happens when you die. But I was kind of guided my whole life in the, like, being prepared for it somehow. Because after my experience, I started writing. no one wanted to listen. So I started writing, you know, I got to get this out of my head. And I started writing, and I didn't go to church. I didn't start looking up self-help books. I didn't do any kind of research for any, and no religion, nothing. Like I knew the Bible as a kid in Spanish. Genesis 28, heaven and the angels ascended and descended from heaven, right? I didn't do any research until I was done writing. I copyrighted my book in 1999. 2 years later, I said, okay, I wrote down all my memories, all my feelings, all my thoughts. Now I'm going to go ahead and go to church. I'm going to go see what they're talking about. I'm going to go check out what they're talking about. And I found so many similarities in what happened to me that I felt like a fool standing in church and, that's what I've been talking about. That's what I was like. That felt kind of stupid. Like, what are you talking about? Be born again, to be born again, you know? Nah, man, they have a totally different, completely different view on some things that I'm like, wow, shut up. You know? They're not ready for that. I've recently been allowed to see more. Like, okay. 20 years, I was zipping around, flying, you know. What about the blonde? Who was the blonde that told me I couldn't stay? Finally, last year, finally. Like, I'm going to look into this. Well, baby Jesus is blonde as a baby, right? Baby Jesus ain't blonde. Why is baby Jesus blonde? That's not baby Jesus, is it? Because the big Jesus ain't blonde. So that left me stumped. It could have been baby Jesus, beautiful little, maybe it's a spirit they're raising. Maybe that's a spirit she's raising, but that's not baby Jesus. Jesus always has the holding up the F. Jesus always holding up the F, and whichever picture you see of him, he's always holding up the F, which is coincidentally the sign of my crew, the DJ crew in Chicago with the F. So I found the blonde. And I'm like, why? I never even thought about them. You know, like the angel Saint Michael. Like, what has this got to do with me? What has this got to do with anything? So I researched Saint Michael. Because it's Saint Michael. You can't tell if it's a man or a woman. Beautiful, pearly blonde hair. I can recognize people from kindergarten, man. I can't remember everyone's names, but I can, hey, remember? Yeah. But I can't do directions. So I found all these pictures, drawings of St. Michael. I'm like, this is it. This is the person. So St. Michael's role is actually the one who is there to meet the people in the in-between. In the in-between world before you go to heaven or hell. So a whole new thing just opened up for me. Like, wow, man, like, affirmations are real and how to control them. Like, what? All these things that I thought, like, hey, positive thinking, positive results has a name called affirmations. It's like, I finally started, I found this group, you know, like everything's finally opening up in the ways that I can't just really explain in simple words, man. It's like, it would take a few days to explain my whole situation, my whole circle, like, please, if you have any questions, I love questions because I have answers and I don't know the questions. I mean, the spirit and the soul. Why would I know about and every church I've been to, like I looked into Christian, I'm a Christian Baptist, but a non-practicing Christian. Because, you know, if they start saying dinosaurs didn't exist or carbon dating and all that, I'm not into all that, man. You know, I believe in what Jesus was saying and I believe in God 100%, even when I was angry at God. But the Buddhist, I was always fascinated with that growing up, like how they can control their body and their mind and all that. So I started martial arts when I was 11, 12. By the time I was 13, I was sparring against black belts and winning. Kung Fu, Taekwondo, kickboxing, right? Judo. So I just got really good at it. They're like, you've done this before. No, just a natural flat foot, I guess they call me. But I learned about meditation and all that. But nothing compares to having a full-blown out-of-body experience.
Saul, thank you for sharing your experiences with us. When you first arrived to the other side, you were asking questions like, what happened? Who was answering those questions for you?
My own mind. Just myself. I really, like, why would you ask some, like, is this green? You know, like, yeah. You know, like, it was all, like, simply answered before I can even think of the question. Like you, when you first wake up, I was more aware at that moment than actually waking up out of bed. It was like instantly lights were on.
I want to address this before we start getting comments about it. You were taking LSD, but you also said once you popped out of your body, you were completely sober, right?
Completely sober-minded. And I know that's a difficult thing to say. People are like, they're going to judge you wrong for it. But that's my story. If I would have been drunk, and then died, I'm not going to take the drunk with me. I was completely free of any pain, any substance. I was just no longer a meat brain. I was just the essence of myself.
When you were there and you heard the screams of hell below you and the Archangel Michael or Saint Michael was walking around and people were reaching up to touch him. Were those people in hell?
I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. The one in blue?
Yeah.
And the ones in red was the Virgin Mary.
Oh. So that was
Saint Michael came at the end and stopped everything and said, it's not your time.
Okay, so the Virgin Mary was walking around and people were reaching up to her. Were those people?
She was 10 feet tall. She was at least 10 to 12 feet tall to be reaching down and everyone actually reaching up to touch her finger standing up. She had to be at least 10 feet tall, and so were the servants, which I don't know why, because I used to mock the thought of the Virgin Mary. Like, she had kids, dude. Like, you know, I didn't care about her like that. I wasn't like a religious virgin. I'm going to meet the Virgin now, dude. Like, I understand. Now I feel like a total different respect for it. You know, a proof that there's angels. That means that other angels exist too. You know, like, it opens up a whole new thing. And I'm just barely getting started of what I know of.
Were those people who were reaching up to her, were they in hell trying to get out, or were they just people on the other side?
It was just like people on the other side who weren't zipping around fast, who might have been praising her beforehand, you know? Because they all knew who she was. The minions weren't trying to reach up. They were, like, looking at me. But I could see people, because I was still, like, maybe 10 feet high as I was ascending from 12 feet high. I was slowly descending back to foot level, little by little. So, yeah, those people were normal height people. And, like, surf crowd surfing or something, you know, like they were all like reaching for that, like magnets, little magnet sprinkles to a magnet, you know, how the magnets kind of lift up. It was like a wave like that, beautiful, perfect. And I didn't pay much mind to that it was the Virgin Mary. But later I found exact picture of that, what she had on. I'm like, it was the Virgin Mary, dude. Like, later I learned it was the Virgin Mary.
For those people who haven't seen the movie Phantasm, can you describe what those minions look like?
About 4 feet tall, kind of wide, maybe like if a wide-headed person, you know, type of neck like this. Just kind of snarling, but they had like the hoodie, big hoodie, like dark brown cloth hoodie. Just kind of wobbling like that, like growling like that, like snarling. I think they're the ones that might be dragged, the ones that go to hell. Maybe they're like the ones that drag people away. But I wasn't raised in knowing about all that kind of stuff.
You also encountered three beings and like you connected with them or something. Do you know who those people were?
I remember one old, like, complected guy-ish. But it was like we weren't so much physical anymore, but the whole mind of who we were was all there. It was just fast. It was too fast, you know? And if I would have probably tried to write more about it then, I would have been able to remember more clearly about what happened. Because I know, I recently learned, right? If I wouldn't have wrote it down, everyone's story changes, you know? They're like, oh, it was red. No, it was blue. Oh, yeah, blue, right? So yeah, I'm glad I wrote everything down. Like, even though I felt silly for trying to show people my book, I wrote all this down. But then I started writing it more interestingly in story poems, all my things that I've learned.
Is your book on Amazon?
No, because it felt too personal. It was a journal. And, you know, there's too many stories in there that could have broke people's hearts. And I don't know, it's all there, right? It's all there. But I started, like, as the years, I'm like, oh, I'll take that out. Oh, I'll take it. And then I'm like, oh, man, it's pretty thin. So, like, one day maybe it'll all be there. But, like, one horrible example, I learned to control pain when I was 4 years old. Back in the day when they used to use the belt. You know. Oh wow. So I started writing my life story, and then as I took a step back outside the box and I looked at my life, everything negative became something super positive. No matter what I went through, I was homeless at 13. Didn't see my parents again till I was 18. You know, I learned to survive on my own. I was a father at 15. But the one thing that I realized was this one dream I had when I was 27 years old. It kind of did a whole deja vu loop circle, and it was all my fault. Because when I was four years old, I learned to control pain. All these other, I like suddenly had a fascination for what happens when we die. And like, I wasn't even in school, you know, I had all these fascinations about what happens, you know, because I had this dream and I was 4 years old and I only spoke Spanish and I didn't know how to read and write yet. But I woke up telling my mom, write this down. And my brother were in the kitchen, they're laughing at me. I'm like, write this down. And every time I said the word, I kept forgetting it until I fell to the ground crying. They were just laughing because they thought I woke up out of a crazy dream or something. I was 4 years old. In my dream, this man came up to me and he taught me how to fly in my dream. He had a beard. It wasn't Jesus. He had a beard and he showed me everything. Like the flying around spirits. He showed me everything. And I was only 4 years old, so I had a couple lucid dreams from then on. I learned how to fly in my dream, fly like Superman. But then I could never remember. I was like, maybe one day I'll get hypnosis, you know? And then I had my out-of-body experience and still no answers. And I had I was very intuitive as far as like stopping at a red light and then snapping to it and everyone's yelling at you, go, go, go. And then semi takes the red light. I stopped at a green light and I thought it was red and everyone's like, go. I'm like, what? Boom, man, a semi took the red light. Like that would have been us smashed. So I had all these intuitive feelings. Like I would just, no matter what, I avoided so many things. And when I didn't listen, it was like obvious. So I had a deja vu, like Galore's. But when I was 27, I had this dream. I was lucid dreaming again. And I'm like, cool. So I thought of my girlfriend that was laying next to me in the bed and I had her there. I'm like, I'm going to show you how to fly, you know? And I showed her how to fly and I quickly forgot about her. And because I saw just like rooftops, like small little rooftops, you know? I saw this little boy sitting at the edge of a bed and I zoomed down. And put your head up. Don't be sad. You can do anything you want here in dreamland. For in life, you are just a boy. But in here, you are more than man. Remember me? Remember me. Creality. So when I woke up my girlfriend like, hey, I had a dream that I woke up in my dream. And like, did you see it? Did you see it? She's like, what are you talking about? I woke up in my dream and I called you. And I showed you how to fly. I'm like, oh, damn. Then I saw this little boy. Man, I started crying. It was me. I was the bearded guy. I messed myself up, man. I didn't give myself a normal childhood. Too much into what happens, you know, controlling the powers of the mind and all. And then after my out of body, man, trust me, I found some normal stuff that you can do. You can throw your essence, you know. I recently took a couple of courses in college, and one of the prerequisites was psychology. The beginning course of psychology, which I now think they should teach that in middle school. But he did a thing like, okay, you stand in the corner, guy over there, you know, and everyone right now is looking at you, but only one person is going to look at you. He's like, I'm going to walk around the room, I'm going to tap somebody in the shoulder, and they're going to be the only one looking at you. So we all participated. We all turned around, and he tapped this one girl over here. And we all stood. And they're like, okay, everyone turn around now. All right, turn around. So the guy pointed in the general direction of the girl, but the guy in front of over here was like, oh, no, it wasn't me, you know? So, okay. So I'm like, wait, but it was right there, right? So that's like throwing your essence, right? So I learned to do that, like, you know, like how, like when you look at someone and they turn around, you know, or you turn around because someone's looking at you. It's kind of a higher intuition that you find, but that you can use, but I don't know how to use that stuff for what, you know, like there's so many things. But I try not to think like that, you know?
Has the memories of this experience faded over time?
Feels like yesterday. Feels like yesterday. It still hurts, you know? The feeling still hurts. You know, the joy of it was, you know, incomparable. You can't compare it much.
After your experience, did you have any new abilities that could be considered psychic?
Psychic. Yeah, the power of intuition. You know, I've had people, you know, like I'm gonna randomly text my buddy about this one thing we were talking about the other day, and I've had them say, dude, we were just talking about you. We were just talking about that. Things like that. Like when we're having a conversation and suddenly a big billboard will pass by us that it's too quick to even take a picture or make sense of the picture that you take of that sign that you just saw. I'm lazy, but I did have the power of 10/10 vision, which I freaked out the orthodontist because I didn't need glasses before, but as you get older, you need glasses, the muscles wear down. But I had learned how to do eye exercise because I was writing and I'm like, whoa, like everything's in focus here and everything's in focus across the street through my window. I'm like, what the heck? So I ran to go to the Miami Optical in Chicago and I'm like, I need an eye test because I never knew how to ask for one or what. So the guy called me to the back. He's like, okay. And he like sit there, and then it's that big machine, and he clicked it on, and I'm like, oh, go back. He's like, oh no, go to this one, big old four letters or whatever. I'm like, then he clicks it a few times that one, like, wait, stop at the other one. So the one he clicked on, I read the bottom. And so he clicks on the other little square that I was pointing at, and it was like tiny with like 60 letters in it. And I started just reading them all. And they're like, whoa, what the hell's going on? You know? He freaked out. I'm like, well, I'm trying to tell you, you know how like dogs see black and white and cats can see like in the dark or whatever. I said, well, I think I got like Kodak vision. And he got so mad. Get out of here, you motherfucker. Like, what, dude? I'm trying to tell you, like, what is wrong with me? It's good, right? He's like, wow, okay, fine. He's like, oh, you got some crustacean around the eyes. And I'm like thinking, what, acid particles? It's been like a month, man. Like, what? And he's like, if you get some soap and rub it out, I'm like, dude, are you kidding me right now? Like, soap and rub it out. I'm telling you, I got like perfect vision. And he kicked me out. And he tried to charge me. I'm like, do you still want me to pay for this, dude? Like, you're kidding me? Like, just get out of here. So then I went to the, later I ended up at a store, and I would always get these phoenix, like, get that book, get that magazine, just grab it. Don't worry if it's $15. Just get it, take it. So then I get this magazine, and then inside I find an article, the Scientific America, whatever it's called, Phenomenon of the Eyes. Everything that I was trying to explain to that guy was answered all in a scientific journal. So I bought the book. I went back to the next day. I'm like, hey, I was here yesterday, you know. And they're like, oh, well, he's not here today, but his partner is. And there's another younger guy. And I told him that yesterday I came in because I had like 10-10 vision. And he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, that's a phenomenon of the eyes. And he gave me the name to another book. He was all aware about it, but the other guy was so afraid about it. He kicked me out, man, like ready to call the police. But yeah, so he said it's called 10-10 vision, which is the best of the best. And then later I find out that my grandma, she made it to be 100 years old in 1 week. But when she was in her 90s, she like, I told her that I had like really good vision just by thinking about it now. Like by thinking about it, I was able to bring the strength of the eyes, like to focus everywhere, kind of like a panorama view or something. Like it was just all perfect contrast and everything. She's like, oh yeah, mijo, I had surgery. It's a little thing behind the eye, right? Like what I found in the magazine. She goes, they put a piece of plastic that opened it. So when you have focus, the it turns like a nickel behind the eye, like a lens. And when you squint to see close, it closes down like that. Open far to focus and like that. So she had 10-10 vision because they actually opened hers with surgery. I'm like, more and more proof, you know, like the most like, bro, you're foolish. You're full of it, you know, like, no, look, I found actual proof. So things like that, you know, there's always actual proof for something so complicating that gotta be like, look, I don't want you to sound like an idiot. Here's a magazine. Here's a journal. Here's the research. So, power of affirmations.
Do you fear death?
No. No, I hope I'm aware and awake when the next time I go. Not like put to sleep on surgery, you know. That's going to be tough. I don't know what that would feel like. Because I felt my death coming the first time. It only hurts for a second. I hope I go like that again, you know, maybe a heart. But a car accident, that might hurt pretty bad. But, you know, being put to sleep and then going like that might be a little tougher to realize, okay, this lucid dream lasted longer than normal. Guess I'm dead, you know? But other than that, it's like, why didn't I care about my whole life? You know, like I said, I didn't have any guilt or regret no matter what I'd done. I didn't do anyone bad. I protected people my whole life. I was like defender of the bully, you know, the bully kid, because I was always a small kid. But with my martial arts, man, I didn't care if there were 6'2" and 3 of them. I would take them down if I had to. I was good.
If you had a friend that lost a loved one and was grieving, what kind of advice would you give?
That we are already there, man. That time and space doesn't matter over there, right? You've probably heard everyone say it. Time and space don't matter. So understand the concept that we're already there. If I died right now and thought of my kids, they're already there growing up because they lived their whole life already. And when they get there, time and space doesn't matter. You can go back and forth. So, I mean, you know, you try to be sensitive, you know. Don't downplay it. You know, we're going to mourn this person because we have feelings here, you know. But over there, they're young again. They're already waiting for us. I wrote a little piece. I used to be afraid of dying because I truly did not understand that when our time comes, the pain will be gone and we are all already there.
Do you think the other side is right here with us, like just in another frequency and we can't see it, like changing a radio station?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a parallel, you know, there's an in-between, right? We're here right after we die. We are all here until we're ready, you know? And then we all, dude, this ceiling is nothing, you know? The next time I die, I'm heading towards the center of the light just to see what's in it, you know? I'm heading towards the center of the galaxy. I'm heading towards the light. Because there's no boundary. It's just, you're there, you know, like here. This is in between. But yeah, once we all like what I recently learned in Varda Thadal, you know, the Book of the Dead, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I compared it with using AI, you know, what they learned about their out-of-body experience. I'm like, wow, this is exactly what I've been saying in writing. Like, it's all there. I'm not about their religion. So there goes a different part of that, you know? If you're a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever religion you're in, Catholic, you know, and what Varda Thadal taught me is in life, we make the mind. But in death, the mind makes us. We become the mind. So all these like-minded people who want to see Jesus, they're going to go see Jesus. They're all going to be there in cahoots with what they want to do, you know? Like they said, my father's mansion has a million rooms or whatever, right? So all the Buddhists are going to be over here in peace and heart. Everyone's in peace, you know? Whatever religion, you know, the hatred ones, I don't know where they're going, you know? Because if you have hatred in your heart, the sounds of hell, the minions are going to feel it. They're going to know that you were trying to hide something, you know? Because you can't hide anything. So it's like, I learned, you know, we are all going in the same place, except for that part, you know, where we ascend, you know. Some people go to hell and they don't want to believe that hell exists for their own reasons now, you know, that because somebody did something that really condemns people's souls. They don't want to see it. The movie What Dreams May Come, you ever heard about it with Robin Williams?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I've seen it in theaters. Back when this first happened to me, before, like when I first heard about the lady that got struck by lightning, it was right after that somewhere it came on. I took this girl to the movies with me to watch this movie. I didn't know anything about the movie. It was our first and last date because I was sobbing through the whole scene. Like, oh my God, this is like, I have two children and everything. And like, oh my God, this is my life. What the F, you know, like this guy died and it's exactly what I went through. And like, wow, you know, like, so I'm crying. She's a beautiful girl. Never seen her again. But yeah, it's like, wow. So then later I find a book. I don't read books. I get distracted on the first, like, oh, I'm 10 pages in. Oh, I lost myself. What the heck? I don't remember any of this. Like, I was daydreaming the whole time. Damn it. So I'm more of a visual learner, you know, watch the audio book. So reading a book was hard for me, but I read that book. And it was written by someone who had died and used this woman to write his story. So she was forced, like a clairvoyant, she was forced to write this guy's life story until it was done, until he let her go. And then she took the book and dropped it off at the brother's house of the guy who died, who said, I'm about to be reborn again. So I'm writing this book now. The heck? And he said where he was going to be born and where you can see him inside of a baby carriage at what day, what time. And then the brother went and there was the baby. He wrote about his life before he died, during his death, during his wife's suicide, and what he had to do to bring her back from suicide. So there had to be some truth to it since everything else was accurate. There's a whole part that I haven't been through that I don't know. I tried to kill myself when I was a kid. I was depressed, you know, I was 13, 12, but then I was getting ready to be a dad at 15, so I had to tough it out. But I tried to kill myself. I put a right foot on my head, and I pulled the trigger with my toe, and the bullet jammed on the way out. I tried to put myself to sleep with pills, you know. I finally found a meaning, raised two kids. So first my son was born in 92, and then my daughter in 95. But then I recently had two kids again after they were grown up. So, yeah, I like lost my whole train of thought.
Sorry.
Where am I?
When you were on the side, were you just pure energy or did you have some type of astral body or light body?
I wanted to still say I felt like I had a body, but I didn't see it. I didn't see my body. I didn't think about it. I knew I had a vision, but it was more like a 10,000 eyes. Just focus in a direction, but a body to reach out and grab something. I didn't see my hand reach out to grab anything.
Saul, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that?
Yeah, I love answering questions. It's like some peace.
What's the best way for people to contact you?
Wow. I have a YouTube channel with some of my writings that I've been putting in there. That'd be a good place other than my plant page or my family page.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
You know what? I don't really know it very good. Can I leave a link or something?
Sure. Well, you can send me a link and I'll put it in the description.
Yeah, because I can't seem to figure out how to share YouTube things without, like, here's a QR code or let me send it to you just yet.
What about Facebook?
Facebook, too. I'm on that. That's a good group to reach me on. Let me see if I could. Here's my. Can you see that?
Looks like it says Saul de Luna.
Soul.
Saul de Luna? Saul de Luna? Yeah,
that's my YouTube.
That's your YouTube channel?
Saul
de Luna.
Yeah.
I'll try to find it and put the link in the description of the video.
It says Saul de Luna 33.
Saul de Luna 33.
It says at Saul de Luna 33.
All right. Well, Saul, before we finish up, can you give us one more positive message?
Well, if you're afraid of dying, just know that it's like waking up lucid dreaming. If you think it's gonna be dark, you're gonna find dark until somebody nudges you. One of your family relatives usually are the ones that nudge those people who are afraid of what's next, and they think dark. So you think dark, you're gonna get dark. So if you think I'm gonna wake up right as soon as I leave my body, you'll be more mentally prepared to what's about to happen.
Saul, thank you for your message and thank you for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.